when it comes to kids and screen time. Time spent looking at TVs, computers, smartphones can be confusing as a parent to know how much is too much. And in this ever-changing digital world, it becomes all the more complicated.
The American Academy of Pediatrics recently revamped some of their guidelines for screen time in response to new technology and the latest research.
Most notably, they've changed their position on a complete ban of screen time for kids under the age of two, which had been in place since 1999. They now say there's one instance where it's okay.
Anna Clarkson joins us now. She's a digital parenting education specialist at UW Extension. Anna, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you. Good to be here.
So the big news here is that the American Academy of Pediatrics walking back its strict ban on screen time for kids under the age of two, which seems like a solid rule about screens that you could sink your teeth into. That had been in place since 1999. Why the change?
You know, I think I would reframe it a little bit and say that they're not fully walking back on their guidelines. They're just really reframing the guidelines to make more sense in our very digital world. So really what they're saying is there are still some limits for kids 0 to 5. For instance, they recommend no screen time except video chatting, like with relatives or friends who are far away, for children who are under the age of 2. And then limited entertainment media, like an hour a day for children 3 to 5. But what they're really adding to the recommendations is more information about what families can do around screen media, because it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. So how is a family really to limit their child's use? So instead, the Academy is saying to families, there are ways that you can be more intentional about screen time used for your infant and your toddler. And they really encourage families to be interactive. So if a toddler or an infant is using technology, a screen in some way, that parents can engage with them around that technology.
So the idea of using the media, the technology, like an iPad or a smartphone as a babysitter is still not okay. So it's not as though you can, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, let that child be on the screen alone, and that's a good thing. It sounds like that is still a differentiating point here.
That's right. The research still really shows that because there's just so much critical development, brain development, emotional development, health behaviors, just all sorts of learning that's happening from 0 to 5 and especially 0 to 2, that using screen media, so that's a touchpad or a TV or a phone, using that as a babysitter, just letting your child sit with that to keep them occupied for long periods of time isn't a good idea. And the reason for that is because kids are really built to learn from interactions with other people in the world around them. And research shows that they just don't learn from screens or 2D environments. And so the times that kids are really learning is when they're face-to-face with an adult or an older child, and that person notices that they pointed to the red block, and they say, oh, that's the red block. And then later they point to their shirt and say, that's red. And well, pretty soon that child's making those connections between those different environments.
We're taking a look at the latest rules revision about kids and screen time. This is something that parents are constantly struggling with. New guidelines from the American Academy of Pediatrics, taking into account some new research and also the way that screens are used today. We're talking with Anna Clarkson. She's a digital parenting education specialist at UW Extension, and she's with us now. And Anna, in the past, the concept of screen time, it kind of lumped devices with screens together. You had your TVs, your tablets, your phones, your video games. Is that still the case, or is there any thought about whether the medium itself matters?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, what's interesting is, you know, back in 1999, when these recommendations were first made, really the only screen that we were talking about was television. And so the most research that we have is about television and children. But we're increasingly gaining information about other screens like phones and tablets and their impact on kids. And what we're learning is that some technologies, like touchpads, where kids can actually interact and touch media as they get older, so, you know, into like three, four, and five, that interactivity can really help children learn in a way that maybe they weren't learning through television. However, with certain educational programming on television, kids learn things, you know, literacy skills or something like that. So we're still really grouping screens together because they function very similarly in children's worlds. But there are a few distinctions in terms of the things children can learn.
So I'm looking at the best kind of, I guess, for lack of another word, programming on these devices. Does the American Academy of Pediatrics have anything to say about the content itself and what may or may not be the most helpful?
Yes, they do have a little bit of information to talk about content. I'd like to just direct you to a resource in terms of thinking about content with kids. There's a website called Common Sense Media, and it's a nonprofit that reviews all sorts of media for different media devices. So for maybe television shows, it could be apps, and gives information about what we know regarding how children learn from it, what kind of content is part of it. The research in terms of content shows that that programs that have really been carefully developed to benefit children's learning. So that's a lot of times shows that are on public broadcasting, actually. So PBS, things like Sesame Street. But those are some of the few programs that actually are linked to positive learning for children.
Do they have any idea why, what it is about, say, in particular, it sounds like PBS programs?
Yeah, the information about what really works in terms of that programming is that they're very focused on concrete learning. They invite kids to interact with the programming, and this actually goes back to, you know, one of the strengths or recommendations of what parents can be doing with kids too. When shows or apps ask kids to repeat back what they're seeing or learning on the screen, oftentimes that's when kids actually learn or grow from interacting with a screen. And parents can do the same thing. You can be watching a show together and you can talk about it with your child. You can even look at a photo of a family event or something and talk about what's in that picture, and children can learn from that as well.
As a parent, this is sort of the never-ending question and negotiation ground, screen time. And I know that other parents feel the same way. It seems like everyone sort of has their own rules and norms for their household, sometimes based on things like these guidelines that we're talking about. But if you're a professional, if you're a medical professional at, say, the American Academy of Pediatrics, how difficult is this, do you think, to stay on top of this? It seems like uncharted territory.
Do you mean in terms of being able to offer solid recommendations to families?
Right, the evolving guidelines that we're seeing.
Yeah, you know, it may seem a bit like the field is always changing, but I think the basics are fairly constant. And the basics really are, and I hope that pediatricians are sharing with parents, the basics are that lap time with your young child is really the most important thing that you can be giving them. So, and what I mean by that is one-on-one interaction, time where you are interacting with them. And that screens don't need to be absent from lap time. You can still have one-on-one interactions with media in your environment, but just be intentional about interacting with each other. And then similarly, I hope that pediatricians are helping families think about creating kind of a family media plan or just a family daily plan. All kids need certain things. They need sleep. They need food. They need exercise. They need that one-on-one interaction with people. And if children are getting all of those things in their day and there's still some time for screen time, it's probably just fine and healthy for children to be exposed to appropriate, nonviolent learning entertainment.
Well, we talked about kids up through age five. What do you recommend? What do the professionals at the Academy of Pediatrics have to say about those older ages, maybe 5 to 10, and then 10 on up through the end of high school?
Yeah, they released a completely separate report for children older than five and up through 18. And I think a really useful way to think about media use as kids get older is to think that screen time and media access can grow as the child grows. So just like an infant, you don't let them access as much screen time as you do maybe a five-year-old. A five-year-old has different kinds of screen time than a 10-year-old or an 18-year-old. A little more screen time is appropriate and probably unavoidable with older children because as they're in school, many schools are using screens for all sorts of learning. Additionally, a little more independence with screen time as children reach later elementary and early teen years is appropriate. However, as you let children have more independence, so searching the web more independently or playing apps more independently, you still do need to talk to them about safety online. And by safety, that means kind of common sense safety about not giving out names or locations online and always coming to talk to a trusted adult if there's something that's confusing or embarrassing that they're coming across online.
Anna Clarkson is with us now from UW Extension, and we're talking about children and screen time. The American Academy of Pediatrics recently issued new guidelines, and we're looking at what they mean for you and the younger members of your household.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is the screen time policy in your household? How do you monitor what your kids are up to on various devices? How do you ensure that your kids are learning if they pick up the iPad or the TV remote? What questions do you have? Call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking about children and screen time. The American Academy of Pediatrics recently revised some of the guidelines, and we're learning about those changes and what they mean for you and for your kids.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. How does screen time work in your house for your kids? How did it work for you growing up with whatever the technology was at the time? Do you have questions for our guest about how to change the screen habits of kids age 0 to 18. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Anna Clarkson stays with us. She's a digital parenting education specialist at UW Extension.
And we'll take our first phone call now. We've got Bill joining us in Menominee. Bill, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to ask?
I'm just looking for advice on how to successfully co-parent with my ex-wife on how to regulate how much time our daughter, who's 10, how much time she spends on the screen. We disagree on how much time she should spend.
All right, Bill, thank you for that question. And Anna, do you have suggestions? That could be a difficult one if people have different ideas about how much is enough.
Yeah, one recommendation that can work for families who are co-parenting or parenting within the same household can be to sit down and create a family media plan together. And so that includes things like expectations around when you can use screens in each household. So the American Academy of Pediatrics, for instance, recommends that screens are put away during mealtime and an hour before bedtime. So that could be part of your family media plan. And if you and your ex-wife, for instance, have differing ideas about appropriate screen time use, it might be helpful for the two of you to kind of talk through your ideas and then bring in your child at a later point to get her or his input in terms of what that family media plan should include. And then when the whole family agrees on it, helping everyone to stay on track, not just kids, but also the adults in each household in terms of following those guidelines.
And Anna, Bill's daughter is 10. Are there any solid numbers that you can throw out there about what would be appropriate for that age?
Well, I think one of the most useful ways to think about media use is to actually subtract out all the other things that have to happen in your daughter's day. So you'd like her to get, you know, 8 hours of sleep. So you subtract 8 hours. She goes to school for maybe 8 hours as well. So, you know, we're already down 16 hours out of the day. And then I think what you'll find once you've subtracted out all the things that have to happen is that really, in the end, there's maybe only an hour or two left in the day for screen time. And that recommendation of an hour or two a day holds pretty strong for kids who are in elementary school as well.
Bill, thanks a lot, and I hope that helps. And we'll go next to Paul. Paul joins us in Menominee Falls. Paul, hi.
Hi, thanks. Great show. As a teacher and as a parent, I just see that we've gone from being digitally distracted to being digitally obsessed, and we're trying to digitize in our house. And I think one of the things that your guest, who I have a lot of respect for, misses or has not said so far is that a lot of schools are adopting this one-to-one technology initiative. So kids are going to school, and they're on digital devices anywhere from 2 to 4 more hours a day. I'm a bit of an older parent with younger kids, so when I take my kids to swimming lessons or to the park or to some of the activities that they have scouting, I notice that a lot of the dads that are a little bit younger, even more middle-aged, they're spending at least half of the time looking at their phones. So we now have this huge digital kind of distraction and obsession at the schools, and then kids go home and their parents, everybody's on Twitter, everybody's on Facebook. And I was actually disappointed that the APA didn't, the American Pediatric Association.
American Academy of Pediatrics, right, AAP.
Oh, thank you for correcting me.
Oh, sure.
I was disappointed that they did not come out with more stringent, and they've kind of slid, I think, into the territory of, well, you have to grow with the child, that the time grows with them. As they get older, they can perhaps manage more. And I don't think that's what's happening to the brain. The human brain is the human brain, and it's not meant for all of this digital kind of obsessive, locked-in behavior. Once again.
And Paul, I'm going to jump in so we can get a response here from Anna. Paul is saying that the day-to-day life as kids is becoming increasingly kind of digitized, spent on screens, even at school. It sounds like he's advocating to dial it back even more, and to maybe, it sounds like he's getting at safeguarding kids' brain development.
Yeah, well, I think you made a couple of really interesting points. First, that especially as kids get older, it's harder and harder to control as parents their access to digital media. And so if kids really are, one-to-one in a classroom and getting 4 hours of screen time per day, then maybe as a family your value is that you have less screen time during the week, and that's something that you as a family set up ahead of time because there's so much happening during the day. And because of that, because it's harder to control your child's access to digital media when they're away from home, it's so important to be working with and talking to young children and teenagers about responsible digital citizenship. So how to tell what resources are valuable resources or trustworthy resources. Also how to use other tools to connect with people. And then the second piece, the other thing I wanted to mention was that it could be valuable to think about screen time for older kids if they're getting a lot in other places, not as entertainment consumption, but if getting screen time is still kind of a tension or an important thing for your child, to think about opportunities for them to create with screens. So to be artists using their technology, or to write stories, or to take and edit photographs, where they're really taking a lot of the skills that are necessary in brain-building activities instead of just consuming content on their devices.
We're talking about new guidelines from the American Academy of Pediatrics regarding kids and screen time right now with Anna Clarkson from UW Extension. And another call here, Joanne joins us from Platteville. Joanne, hi.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yep, you sound great.
Great. I guess I'm kind of probably a rare parent where we're older parents, and I haven't owned a television since probably 2001, and I haven't missed it. And we have a computer and we have a TV where they can watch movies, but we don't have any local stations, no cable, no anything. And I ask the kids occasionally, do you feel left out, you know, from your peers? Do you feel like you're missing anything? And so far, they're 11 and almost 13, and, you know, they're saying they really don't miss it until they go to their friends' houses and see the video games and the different things, the phones.
But, oh, interesting. Joanne, thanks for that. And so there are different approaches parents are taking, and some, like Joanne, are really keeping it stripped down when it comes to technology. I mean, is there any benefit that any evidence that this is more beneficial for kids than doing a different approach that maybe involves having more of these screens in the house and using them, as you said, maybe 1 or 2 hours a day for older kids?
In that comparison, where kids are getting limited access to screens or no access to screens, I haven't seen research that suggests that one is better for learning versus the other. It's when kids are exposed to hours upon hours of screen time during the day that their learning and their emotional regulation and their social skills decrease. But what minimizing screen time does is it really opens up opportunities for children to learn and explore through play and through other interactions. And so that's what having limited screen time really does for those children.
Anna, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was Anna Clarkson talking about screen time and children, looking at new guidelines from the American Academy of Pediatrics. Anna Clarkson is a digital parenting education specialist at UW Extension. And you can let us know what you think about all this over on the Central Time Facebook page.